And this is Ms. G, and I am bringing you Telling Tales with Ms. G. Tonight, I have a story. It's called Good Neighbors by Sharon Mitchell. Basically, when you buy a new house, maybe your neighbors should be listed as some hazardous items. I'll be right back with my story. Stay tuned here at 104.3 KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. And hello again, this is Ms. G, and I am bringing you Telling Tales with Ms. G here at 104.3 KTOO. And tonight's story is called Good Neighbors by Sharon Mitchell. "Welcome to the neighborhood, dearie," she said, beaming under an explosion of bright bottle red curls and a little bubble of a nose. "I'm Dearie Claxton, your neighbor over the black back fence." Advancing with a covered casserole, she backed me right up against the mountain of cardboard boxes in the middle of my kitchen floor. "Don't you just love it here? We have such a nice view perched way up here on top of the hill, the way we are." But let me warn you right off, be careful driving downtown. Hillcrest Road can be real treacherous in bad weather." "I wouldn't be surprised." "I brought you a little something for lunch, dearie." She deposited the casserole on the stove and stripped off orange oven mitts, which she stuffed in a pocket of her green cobbler apron. They made a bulge over the bulge of her stomach. She was a short woman of about 55, I guessed, with skinny legs and a thick middle. Under the apron were a pair of pink shorts and a purple T-shirt. "Thank you." "I know how it is, dearie. My first husband was in the Army. Every 3 years, at least, we had to pack up and move on. Now, Homer, that's my present husband. He's real sedentary, and I like that just fine. I hope you folks are sedentary. Jim and Clara Thompson, the folks you bought this place from, just about broke my heart when they moved to Arizona. We were real close." "Oh, that's why. Homer said they moved because they wanted to get away from me, but he was just teasing." "I didn't believe it for a minute. I was closer to Clara than I was to Jim, of course, the both of us being homebodies. We were back and forth all day long. I'd be over here for coffee first thing in the morning, and then, like as not, Claire would come over to my place for lunch, and on it would go." "I wondered why there was a gate in the back fence." "The neighborly gate, I call it. I don't hold much with fences, but Homer just had to have one. Doesn't like cleaning up after other people's dogs, if you catch my drift. So I says to him, I says, 'There's already so damned many fences in this neighborhood, I'll have to go clear around the block to get to Clara.' So he says, okay, I'll put a gate in it." "Where's your hubby, dearie?" "What? Oh, David went to the hardware store. I saw the handsome devil earlier. Tall, dark, and handsome was always my weakness, too. My problem was I always went for men with looks without thinking too much about what they had between their ears, I guess," she said with a naughty twinkle in her big, saucery blue eyes. "That's why I'm on my fourth husband. Homer's a nice-looking man, all right, but he's smart, too, so maybe he'll be my last." I searched for the proper response. I'd never met anyone before who'd been married four times. Divorce can be a painful experience," I said lamely. She sighed. "Well, I wouldn't know about that. Say, that hubby of yours isn't down at the hardware store buying tools, is he?" Homer's got every tool in the world you can think of, and I loan them out all the time. You newlyweds, dearie? We've been married almost 2 years, I said, congratulating myself for keeping up with her. New in town? No, we had an apartment on the north side, but now that I'm pregnant, a baby, she squealed and lunged at me, smothering me in a fruit salad hug. I mean it. The woman smelled like fruit salad. I can't think of anything I'd like better than a new baby just across the back fence. Fiona, that's my second daughter. She had a baby boy last year, but he was 6 months old before I heard about him. Kids, I could have wrung her neck. Said she didn't want me flying clear across the country. She lived in Baltimore just to help her with the new baby, so she waited until he wasn't new anymore. Can you beat that? Don't believe I caught your name, dearie. Brenda, my real handle's Octavia. I don't think I look a bit like an Octavia, though, do you? My chin's too weak for an Octavia. When I was a girl, my friends called me Tavi, but my first husband started calling me Dearie because that's what I call everybody. Your husband's name is David? Yes, and he'll be back in a few minutes, so I really should. If he wants to buy more tools, you just send them to me. No sense in buying tools when Homer's got more than he can ever use. He's only got two hands, after all. David went to get a couple of garbage cans, actually. Garbage cans? Dearie cried, alarm edging her voice. We've got garbage cans, more than we need. You can have a couple of ours. Well, I said with a little laugh and a little shrug, too late now. If there's anything else you need, I think we've got everything covered. Listen, I think, why don't you folks come over for dinner tonight? Thanks, but we've already promised to have dinner with David's parents. His folks live right here in town. Well, isn't that nice? I wouldn't want to keep you from that. Kids should spend time with their folks, even if they are all grown up and married and everything. I see precious little of my own brood. Homer says, listen, I think I'd better get back to work. I wish I could offer you a cup of coffee, but I motion helplessly at the mountain of boxes. Oh, sure. I understand, dearie. Believe me. How many times have I been in that same boat? Hundreds. Well, not really hundreds, of course, but it seems like it. No, I wasn't expecting a cup of coffee. Why don't I help you? It's very nice of you to offer, Octavia. Just call me Dearie. Dearie, but I'd rather do it all myself so I'll know where everything is. I can understand that. You're our first real home and all. But don't you go overdoing in your delicate condition. How far gone are you, anyway? 4 months. You're going to start showing pretty soon, a skinny little thing like you. I'm just tickled pink for you, Dearie. The first baby is always so exciting. Well, I'd better toddle off now and see about getting Homer's lunch. He likes to eat at 12 noon on the dot. Creature of habit, that one. You enjoy that tuna casserole now, and don't be in a hurry about getting that dish back to me. I got plenty. Thank you, I said, moving toward the door. It was very nice of you to think of us. Neighbors should be neighborly, I always say. Yipes, David said. It's awful. I had cleared a space around the kitchen table and served Dearie's tuna casserole on paper plates. You're kidding, I said. She runs around in a cobbler apron and everything. I tasted and quickly washed it down with water. How did one scorch an overbaked tuna casserole? I'll go get hamburgers, David said. Please, I'm starved. I scraped the tuna mess into the garbage and put the dish in the sink to soak. I had unpacked our everyday dishes and made a dent in a box that held small appliances when David came back with lunch Burger King style. What's this? I said, looking at his solitary hamburger. Are you on a diet or something? He always bought 3 hamburgers, 1 for me, 2 for him. I ate one on the way home to get that awful taste out of my mouth. I may never eat tuna again. She's probably a wonderful cook, David. Everybody blows it from time to time. Yeah, well, at least we've got one friendly neighbor. Did anyone else drop in while I was gone? No, and I hope they don't for a while. All I want to do right now is get unpacked and settled in. They came a-tapping at the back door like a woodpecker at work on the eaves, the same tapping Dearie Claxton had tapped not more than an hour ago. Oh, no, I cried. It's her. Get this stuff out of here. She's a nice lady, and I don't want to hurt her feelings. David jumped up from the table and, chewing furiously, dumped the burgers and fries back into the Burger King bag. Clutching it in his armpit, he snatched the Cokes and made for the far reaches of the house while I went to open the kitchen door for a grinning Dearie. I don't know where my head is today, she said, advancing again and backing me up against the same boxes she had backed me into earlier. She wagged the thermos in my face. coffee. You needed coffee. But it didn't sink in when I was here before. That's awfully nice of you. Oh, think nothing of it. So how was the casserole? I hope you ate it before it got cold. It was delicious, I lied stoutly. Ate it all up. Her saucer eyes went to the sink and lit on the soaking dish. As long as I'm here, I might as well get that out of your way. Just let me wash it for you. Nonsense. You've got enough to do. I'll just run home and pop it in my dishwasher. She was at the sink in a flash, dumping water, swathing the dish in paper towels. Now, if you need anything, you just holler, she said on her way out the door. I was sure I wouldn't need anything other than a little peace and quiet, and I had the feeling I wasn't going to get it. I was wrong. Deary came tapping at my kitchen door no more that day. I thought she was going to be a real nuisance, I told David later when we were getting ready to go out to dinner. There's tomorrow and the next day and the rest of our lives, he said. She's got plenty of time. David was right. She came tapping bright and early the next morning with a bandage on her forehead and a coffee cake in her hands. Oh, dear, I said. What happened to you? Damned if I didn't fall down the basement stairs. She put the coffee cake on the table and sat down. If I told Homer once, I told him 1,000 times, don't leave your junk all over the stairs. But does he listen? No, he does not. Now that he's retired, he used to be an insulation therapist down at the hospital. He's always got some project going to keep himself busy, but can he find the time to put his tools away? Can he find the time to change the light bulb over the basement stairs? No. Got 6 stitches in my forehead, thanks to him, and I didn't get home from the hospital until 9 o'clock last night. Was I steamed? Are you okay now? Oh, sure. I'm indestructible. I always bounce back real quick. It's a good thing we've got lots of insurance because I'm just as accident-prone looking for a place to happen. Still, you'd think a grown man would know better than to leave BBs or ball bearings or whatever those little round things were scattered all over the stairs. David chose that moment to come up from the basement with a shiny new wrench in his hands. Deary eyed it, but surprised me by saying nothing about Homer's tools. Instead, she arched her plucked and penciled eyebrows coyly at him. So this is the hunk. This is David. David Octavia Claxton. Just call me Deary. Nice to meet you, David said with a noncommittal expression on his lean, handsome face. I hear you're a high school teacher. I wish I'd had teachers like you when I was in high school. She tittered as if that was an original notion. I wondered how she knew he was a teacher. Maybe the Thompsons had told her before they headed for Arizona. David could think of nothing to say for a moment. Then he rallied. Well, he said, smiling his back-to-school night smile, I've got to go work on my plumbing. Deary's blue saucer eyes followed his retreating figure until it could be seen no more. Then she gave me a conspiratorial grin. Men, she cried with fond aspiration, apropos of nothing I could fathom. I've got to get back to work, too, I said meaningfully. Oh, she cried, fishing in the pockets of her cobbler apron. I saw an article in the newspaper this morning, and I says to myself, Deary, this is right down Brenda's alley, so I cut it out for you. It was an article about homemade baby food. And I can show you how to make cosmetics, you know, face cream and shampoo and things like that, out of stuff you already have in your kitchen. It's kind of a hobby of mine. No wonder she smelled like fruit salad. Thank you. I'll read this the first moment I can spare. Her saucer eyes scanned my kitchen. You've made some progress since yesterday, I see. Oh, you found your coffee maker. I looked woefully at it. Why had I started a fresh pot moments before she arrived? A defeated woman, I sighed. Would you like a cup of coffee? Don't mind if I do. I love coffee in someone else's kitchen. Now, don't worry about entertaining good old Deary Claxton. Just go ahead with what you're doing, and I'll keep you company. Okay, lady, I thought as I poured her a cup of coffee. That's just what I'll do. I wouldn't bother with that, Deary said when I got down on my hands and knees to scrub the cupboard under the sink. Claire is a meticulous housekeeper. She has a fetish, if you ask me. Just the same. Oh, I know. You feel better if you get off to a good, clean start. That's what I keep telling Homer. He's in my kitchen right now putting new heating elegance in my oven. He's miffed at me because he figured he'd be done by now. Homer, I says to him, we're not putting new elegance in a dirty oven. You're just going to have to wait until I get it spick and span. Deary chattered on and on like an ecstatic squirrel. I learned, as I worked, more about our neighbors than I ever wanted to know. Insisting that I take a break because of my delicate condition, she served up coffee cake that was incredibly dry and pumped me about our background. It was as if she was checking our references. Just as I was despairing of ever having a moment to myself, she glanced at her watch and sprang to her feet with a startled cry. 11 o'clock, time flies when you're having fun. I've got to run home and pop your casserole in the oven. Oh, no, you can't be fixing another lunch for us every day. Besides, isn't Homer working on your oven? He'll be through by now. You've got to try my taco cheese dog casserole. She was off in a flash, galloping across our backyard and through the neighborly gate, her round little buns bobbing up and down inside tight mauve stretch pants. I rolled my eyes at the ceiling and sighed a heartfelt sigh, wishing I had my grandmother's infamous lack of tact. Grandma would have told Deary quite promptly that she'd sooner eat raw eggs than attempt another of her casseroles, but I had not her courage. I would give the taco cheese dog casserole a try, and then I would go ahead and make ham sandwiches. As it turned out, we didn't have to taste Deary's casserole. When 1 o'clock rolled around and she hadn't come back, I made the sandwiches. David and I ate an apprehensive lunch, expecting her to come tapping at our kitchen door any minute, but nothing happened. We counted ourselves lucky. "Sorry about the casserole," Deary said woefully when she came tapping that evening, just as we were sitting down to dinner in our new dining room. I didn't budge when she tried to back me into my kitchen. I was determined that my pot roast would not get cold while she rattled on and on. Darn if that Homer didn't go and screw up with those new elegants. When I went to put the casserole in, I got a shock that came close to frying my eyeballs. "Oh, I'm sorry." Feeling like a jerk, I stepped aside and let Deary come in and sink down on a kitchen chair. Got a jolt that knocked me clear across the room. I guess that was lucky because it broke the connection. Well, it blew a fuse, too, so maybe that's why I live to tell the story. Needless to say, I didn't get the casserole done. Oven caught fire. Now Homer's got to buy me a new stove. Are you okay now? She gingerly touched the bandage on her forehead. Got one heck of a headache, but with the stitches and the shock and all, I don't know. Seems like every time I turn around, I'm having some kind of accident. Have you had dinner? If your oven's not working, I mean, I've got a pot roast on the table. There's enough for four if you want to call Homer. She reached out and patted my hand. That's real sweet of you, dearie. But we stopped for dinner on our way back from the hospital. At least I got to eat out for a change. Is there anything else I can do for you? Oh, no. I just wanted to tell you why you didn't get your casserole. Don't worry about that. I'm just glad you're okay. Something's rotten in Deary Land, David said when I returned to the dining room table to tell him about Deary, who had hobbled home clutching her head. She does seem to have more than her share of accidents. Smells pretty fishy to me. Do you know how unlikely it is to have that kind of an accident just because her husband put those elements in himself? On most stoves, all you have to do is plug them in. Besides getting a jolt like that, well, I think she'd have some burns or something. I've heard of people getting real zaps without getting burned. What are you getting at, David? I don't know. It just strikes me as a real weird. How about BBs scattered all over stairs where a light just happens to be burned out? Weirder and weirder. We were in the living room watching the tail end of a movie on television when we heard tapping at our kitchen door. David looked at me. Can't be, he said. It's almost 11 o'clock. I know that tap. Relax, I'll get it. Resolving to turn out all the lights in the back of the house after dinner from then on, I went to the kitchen door. I don't know where my head is today, Deary said cheerfully. She was wearing a fresh bandage and she carried a cooking oil bottle that was filled with some doubtful substance. I meant to bring this over earlier, but I could see that you hadn't gone to bed yet, and bedtime is when you want to use this, so I thought I'd dash over. This is my own homemade liniment. Moving into a new house always gives you sore muscles, doesn't it? And this is just the stuff you need. Just rub this all over, and in the morning you'll feel like you've been lolling on a Hawaiian beach. Tomorrow I'll show you how to make your own baby lotion. Save you a bundle when the little one comes. Are you sure you're filling up to... Oh, yes. I bounced back real quick. I've got 3 boxes of this squeezable ketchup bottles that I've been saving for something like this. I'll have Homer haul them over first thing in the morning. I've got some shopping to do in the morning, and I Well, we'll do it tomorrow afternoon then. Well, I'd better toddle off now and let you folks get to bed. I took the cooking oil bottle back to the living room and presented it to David. He took the cap off and winced when he smelled the grayish liquid inside. If we put this stuff on, we'll have to sleep in separate bedrooms. I sniffed. It smelled like a mixture of horseradish, garlic, and an unspeakable something long past its prime. Let's don't and say we did. I'd rather have sore muscles. David, she insists that she's going to help me make umpteen million cup bottles of homemade baby lotion. Derry put in her next appearance while we were getting breakfast in the kitchen the next morning. Those ketchup bottles are out there on your patio. Homer brought them over at the crack of dawn. He's an early riser, that one. I wanted him to wait until later so I could introduce you, but he said he had to work on the car. She eyed the coffee maker so wistfully that I felt I had to offer her a cup. Don't mind if I do. I love a cup of coffee in somebody else's kitchen. She made herself comfortable at our table and began flirting with David while I scoured my brain for an excuse to get out of the baby lotion project. I was certainly not going to put any of her homemade lotion on our baby when it arrived. So innocent and trusting. His fault I slipped and fell. What? I asked, snapped out of my reverie by the tail end of Deary's sentence. Homer says it wasn't his fault I slipped and fell and conked my head on the bathtub, she reiterated. But who else could have spilled shampoo all over the bathroom floor if it wasn't me and it wasn't him? I know it was an accident, but it wouldn't hurt Homer to apologize once in a while. All he did was get sarcastic. Asked me if I wanted a fingerprint kit for my birthday. Well, David soothed, maybe he knocked it over and didn't notice. Could be, I guess. I'm always after him about leaving caps off things, and I'm always after him about enlarging the bathroom. It's so small that you just might have to knock yourself silly if you fell, which is just what I did. I was out cold for a few minutes, and Homer is no good in an emergency. All he could think to do was get me a pillow. When I came to, there he was, standing over me with a pillow in his hands. So are you okay now? I asked, sending David a meaningful look. I'm kind of sore from all the tumbles I've taken lately, but I'll be okay. I always bounce back real quick. When did this happen? David asked. About 6 o'clock this morning, right after I got up. Hell of a way to start the day, huh? Listen, you don't mind if I beg off the baby lotion today, do you? I don't mind at all, I said. Not too eagerly, I hoped. Kind of got off to a bad start, and I've still got to get groceries and pick cherries. Cherries? Didn't you notice my cherry tree? Jam-packed with big, ripe pie cherries. The weatherman says it's going to rain tonight or tomorrow, so I'd better get them picked. I already told Homer to set the ladder up for me. Do you think that's a good idea, dearie, climbing a ladder after all the accidents you've had lately? Why don't I come over and pick them for you? No way, little mother. Can't have you climbing in your condition. Couldn't Homer do it, David put in. He can't climb. He's got indigo. Vertigo, you mean. That's right. Can't stand heights either. I shot David another meaningful look. Well, he said, not exactly brimming with enthusiasm. I guess I could do it. Deary arched her eyebrows coyly at him again. If you really don't mind. When David went over to the Claxons to pick cherries, I got in the car and drove down Hillcrest Road to the supermarket that sat at the bottom of the hill. Hillcrest was a long, winding drive with a river tumbling down beside it over a series of stair-step waterfalls. It was a lovely drive, but not a particularly convenient one. I told myself I was going to have to get better organized. I wasn't living in an apartment complex with a store on the corner anymore. Dashing out for a loaf of bread wasn't going to be the same, especially after the baby came. But if that was the price I had to pay for living in a nice, peaceful hilltop neighborhood with a marvelous view, I was willing to pay it. I spent more money than I'd ever spent before at one time for groceries, stocking my roomy kitchen and the new freezer. When I got home, David appeared in the back door of the garage, ready to lug groceries. Through picking cherries already? I asked as he got a couple of bags out of the back seat. Haven't started. I grabbed a bag and hurried after him, through the door and along the covered walkway to the patio. Why not? Well, he said, going in through the patio doors to put the bags down on the dining room table. If Homer's up to something, he's a real cool customer. When I went over there and announced my intentions, he turned to Deary and said, I told you I wanted to check that ladder out before you used it. She looked like it was news to her. Then he gave the ladder a quick once-over and muttered something about rotten wood, took it down and hauled it off to the garage, said he'd go buy a new one this afternoon. I suppose he saw it halfway through the top step or something and didn't want to waste it. He can't collect insurance on you, Davy boy. He told me she put the ladder up, and guess what else? I haven't the foggiest. They've already got their new stove. I saw the crate it came in out in the yard, and there was an order date written on the side. It was ordered 3 weeks ago. Looks a little suspicious. A little? Maybe we should talk to Dearie. She seems awfully dense sometimes. I don't know, David said doubtfully. I mean, the lady's kind of dingy, don't you think? We only have her side of the story. So what's Homer like? Nothing like I expected. I pictured a bald, pot-bellied brute in greasy overalls. He's kind of a spiffy old guy. Trim, neatly dressed, good haircut. Derry said he was an inhalation therapist before he retired. Not the greasy coveralls type, I guess. An inhalation therapist? Then if he's planning to do her in, don't you think he'd be able to come up with something a little more certain and a lot more subtle? Yeah, I said thoughtfully. Maybe. Been grocery shopping, I see, Dearie said when she came tapping a few minutes later. She put a shoe box down on the table. I was going to go myself a little while ago, but I wasn't halfway down the hill when the brakes went out on the Buick. Scared me spitless. I keep telling Homer we need a new car. Looks like we'll be buying Mrs. Tate a new hedge instead. She's got that brick house right at the end of that sharp curve. But I told Homer, I says, well, it's better than going into the river, which is what I'd have done if I hadn't had the pleasance of mind to plant the Buick in Mrs. Tate's hedge. Maybe I'll use a little of the money. Felix, that's my third husband, left me to buy myself a new car if Homer won't. He doesn't want me to spend that money, though. Says I should save it for my old age. But if I keep driving that Buick around, I won't have an old age. Were you hurt? I said, shooting David yet another meaningful look. Her hand went to her bandaged forehead. Oh, bumped my head a little. Maybe loosened up a stitch or two, but nothing serious. Had to call Dr. Nussbaum about my prescription, though. Scared me so bad I had to pop the last of my heart pills. You have a heart condition? Sure do. Had a cornea 3 years ago. I pulled a kitchen chair out for her. Well, sit down, dearie. You've had quite a morning. How are you feeling now? Did you get your prescription filled? Homer's going to do it as soon as he gets the brakes working again. He's real handy with the car, I will say that. He was really surprised when he saw how shook up I was. I says, Homer, you'd be shook up, too, if you'd come within inches of going for a swim in a 2-ton bathing suit. That river's deep this time of year. So, I said, not knowing what else to say, what's in the box? Popsicle sticks, she said, lifting the lid with a flourish. Homer doesn't care for desserts as a rule, but he does like his root beer popsicle every now and then. I'm going to show you how to make napkin holders out of these sticks. Oh, that's nice. After I get rested up a bit. Of course. In fact, you shouldn't even consider it for at least a month. Wouldn't you think she'd be just a little suspicious after a fourth potentially lethal accident in 2 days? I said when Dearie had taken her bandaged head home. And we've only been here for 2 days. Who knows how long this has been going on? I'm back to thinking that's just what they are, David said. Accidents. Real honest to goodness, accidents. It's an incredible run of bad luck, I'll admit, but some people are accident prone. Homer's not a stupid man. If you were trying to do me in and get away with it, wouldn't you be just a tad more subtle about it? 4 accidents in 2 days? Well, I don't know, but Dearie really is going to be dingy if she takes any more blows to the head. We managed to get through lunch without Dearie. David left immediately afterward for the lumberyard and the paint store. We wanted paint for the nursery and lumber for the lattice we had decided to hang from the walkway and patio covers. Training a nice, dense, growing vine on the lattice would be a good idea, we thought. Maybe someday we'd be able to smuggle groceries into the house unobserved. Maybe we'd even be able to use our patio from time to time without drawing Dearie like a moth to a flame. When David came back, he started his lattice project on the patio, cutting 2x2s to proper length with a new saw. I worked on the few odds and ends of settling in that still remained. I was hanging my asparagus fern in the dining room window, the one that looked out on the patio. when I saw the Deary was back and had paused to supervise a grim-faced David. I was glad he was a relatively even-tempered man with no history of high blood pressure. Slipping quietly out the front door, I went for a long walk. Deary came tapping at dinner time. Having seen us through the patio doors, she made a beeline for the dining room when I let her in and plopped a questionable cardboard box down on the table next to the scalloped potatoes. Half a chocolate cake was balanced on top of an odd assortment of old socks that I could use to make dolls or puppets for the baby. She'd show me if I didn't know how, but I probably did because didn't everybody almost? Please help me eat this cake. Homer will have his root beer popsicle every now and then, but otherwise he doesn't care for desserts. If I don't get rid of this, I'll eat it all myself. I tried to smile. I really did. Thank you, dearie. Would you like to come over and play cards a little later? I got my new stove so I can show you how to make cranberry fudge. No, thanks. We're going to turn in early. I can understand that, dearie. It'll take you a while to get completely rested up. Moving really wears you out, doesn't it? All right, I'll let you off the hook this time, but tomorrow night we're making an evening of it. Make fudge, play cards, show you the slides of our trip to Mount St. Helens. I didn't forget about the baby lotion. I've got a hair appointment first thing in the morning, but we can do it in the afternoon. She left with a promise to show David how to make logs for the fireplace out of old newspapers, which she could supply because she had a whole closet full of them. We shouldn't thank her because she really needed to clean that closet out anyway. I thought this was going to be our dream house, I wailed. Not a dumping ground for Deary Claxton. This has got to stop, David said. It really does. The chocolate cake was so still it was practically petrified. It went in the garbage. Turning out all the lights in the back of the house so Deary would think we had gone to bed, we tried to wind down by watching a little mindless palaver of television, but it was hard to concentrate. I wonder if Deary takes those little heart pills that look like saccharin tablets, I said. Why? Homer got her prescription refilled today. And you think he might consider that a golden opportunity? I shrugged. I finally got a look at Homer, by the way, when I was out walking. I saw him in his driveway tinkering with the car again. Yes, Anne. Deary has a hair appointment first thing in the morning. It's supposed to rain. She'll be driving down Hillcrest Road. Deary's an excitable person. She probably needs those pills several times a day. In fact, they probably haven't escaped Homer. If the brakes fell again, even if she doesn't go in the river. Yes. Do you think Homer would be crazy enough to? Homer's a sane man, infinitely sane. Otherwise, he'd be sitting in a rubber room strumming his lower lip by now. Let me put it another way. Do you think he's capable of the big M? Anyone is pushed far enough. Do you think he's been pushed far enough? I've been pushed far enough. Shouldn't we do something? Like what? I don't know. Even if I saw him with a gun to your head, I'm not so sure I'd want to do anything about it. Now, David. Okay, he sighed. Tell you what, let's sleep on it. She'll be safe until morning anyway. Sirens woke us up the next morning at 7:30. They seemed to be coming from the back of the house, so David and I scrambled out of bed and ran to look out the kitchen window. Red and blue lights flashed on the street in front of the Claxton's house. We could see the rear end of an ambulance in the driveway behind the Buick. Uniformed people were milling about. Oh, no, I cried. Looks like he got her good this time. We shouldn't have slept on it, David. I'm going to get a closer look, David said. That sounded like a good idea to me. We hurried back to the bedroom, threw on some clothes, and went out back as far as the neighborly gate. Deary, her bandaged forehead standing out whitely in the midst of the black police uniforms that surrounded her, wept into a handkerchief. Paramedics carrying a blanket-covered figure came out the back door. I looked at David. Homer? Must be. Two police officers, one in uniform and one not, saw us standing there and came over for a little chat. Deary had stabbed Homer in self-defense, she claimed. However, some of the evidence seemed to indicate that Homer had been sitting at the table eating breakfast when he got it between the shoulder blades. As the Claxton's neighbors, could we shed any light on the situation? Of course, we had to tell them about all the accidents Deary had been having and that we had been suspicious of Homer's intentions, that we had even discussed it the night before, wondering what we could do about it. That seemed to give some substance to Deary's claim. After all, even though there was blood on the table, Homer had been found face down on the floor. What Deary told them could be absolutely true. Homer had backed her up against the table and tried to strangle her. She managed to break away long enough to grab a kitchen knife and plunge it into his back when he lost his balance and fell to his knees. The angle of the stab wound, well, it could be consistent with what she was saying. David and I spent a rather pensive morning doing little things around the house, pausing frequently to gaze out over the neighborly gate. I whipped up a casserole to take to Deary when she got back from wherever the police had taken her. That was the sort of thing neighbors did for each other. She, after all, had done it for us. Lieutenant somebody or other came to see us. We told him about Deary's fall down the basement stairs and her near electrocution and her car accident and her fall in the bathroom. We talked about Homer and his ladder and its heating elements and his pillow. A police car brought Deary home about noon. I passed through the neighborly gate for the first time shortly after with a bubbly hot ham casserole clutched in my oven mitts. Her kitchen door was open, so I tried a tentative tap on the screen door with the edge of the dish. When I'd had no response after several dainty taps, my imagination conjured up booby traps left behind as a parting gift for Homer. By Homer. Wouldn't that be ironic? With the little finger on my right hand, I managed to release the catch on the screen door without dumping the casserole and shouldered my way inside. I was about to call her name when raucous music shattered the stillness. Normally, I like to believe I am not a snoop, but I couldn't resist the pull of the music. So incongruous a thing for one so recently widowed. I followed it through the kitchen and dining room, homing in on its source. And then, in the living room, I saw Deary. She stood with her back to me before a large decorative mirror that hung over the couch. She had a bottle of baby oil in one hand. Swinging her hips to the beat of the music, she rubbed oil on the stubborn adhesive left behind the bandage that had covered her unstitched, unscarred forehead. She spun around when she saw my reflection. Somehow, she didn't seem very glad to see me. "Don't look so worried," I said. "You bounce back real quick, right?" You've been listening to me read Good Neighbors by Sharon Mitchell. I hope you enjoyed the story. This is Ms. G bringing you Telling Tales here at KTOO 104.3.
I measured in increments somehow fast.